Well, thank you for joining us this morning. My name's David Dixon. I'm the pastor of New Life Church. Today is when we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, so I'd like to pray and just invite the Holy Spirit to come into our presence, to wherever you are listening to this. If it's safe for you to do so, I would encourage you to close your eyes. You may even want to consider just raising your hands towards heaven, just even putting them on your lap if you're more comfortable with that. That position of surrender, of openness to the work of God in our lives. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for the great celebration that Pentecost is, celebrating the work of the Holy Spirit, that power and the presence of Jesus, that equipping for living the way you want us to live. And I pray for us today. I invite your Holy Spirit to come and rest on me as I communicate your word, to rest on everyone as they're listening to your word. May you strengthen us. May you come with your presence. May you come with your peace. May you come with your power. We open our lives up to you, Holy Spirit. You're welcome. Come and work. To the glory of God, we pray. In Jesus' name. It's fair to say that during these times, people have faced some significant pressures and stresses, whether that's as simple as the fear of infection, the fear of financial loss, the frustration, the boredom, the confinement. Maybe it seems as if our very liberty is being curtailed. And that's before we even get into the challenge of government advisors not taking their own advice and the anger that people have felt about that. As a church, we're in the middle of our reading through the New Testament. We'll be coming to the Gospel of John soon. So I want to draw your attention to John chapter 20 as we look at some of the encounters that the people have with the risen Jesus. It's John chapter 20. Verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And I want to draw your attention to three simple things that an encounter with the risen Jesus can bring to us. It's taken directly from this passage. An encounter with the risen Jesus can bring to us his peace. You know, when I look around the world, when I listen to the news, it seems that that's the missing element in so many people's lives. There's been frustration and anger and a real lack of peace and an increase in anxiety and an increase in mental health issues for people, which is very understandable. But we know that the presence of Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, comes and promises us something right from this passage. He says twice, "Peace be with you." And when we think of the circumstances of the early church, we can understand why he had to say this. Jesus had been crucified and there had been rumors of him having been raised from the dead, and this caused all sorts of difficulties in the city with the Roman authorities, with the religious leaders, and the disciples find themselves in lockdown, and it says for fear of the Jewish religious leaders. We know that they were after them. So it's understandable that they're having to isolate, they're having to be in lockdown. And in that environment and in that place of fear, Jesus comes and he appears to them and he says, "Peace be with you." It's actually a common thing that you will discover if you read the Gospel of John, particularly John chapter 14 to 16. Jesus focuses on the role of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things he says to the early disciples and to us is, "Peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, my peace I give you. In this world you will have troubles," Jesus said, But he leaves us his peace. And I want to encourage you this morning to reach out to the resurrected Christ, to reach out to the risen Lord. He is the one that gives you peace. It won't be your bank balance. It won't be your job. We may take small comfort in our health, but we know how fragile and vulnerable that can be in the current circumstances. But here we have something we really can take to the bank. Jesus comes and says to us, peace be with you. Maybe you need to hear that this morning. Maybe you need to receive that for yourself. Second thing that Jesus comes and says this, and we can experience from the resurrected Christ, is the sense of purpose. Jesus comes and says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. One of the things with lockdown is that people have felt very confined, unable to meet, unable to hug friends or family, though I know that's beginning to change in the UK. But this lockdown has brought that sense of confinement, of restraint, of restriction on people's lives. But Jesus comes and says to the early disciples, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. One of those famous verses in the Bible is John 3:16. We have it on the wall of our church building. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Great truths. We understand the heart of the Father of God is that he sent his Son that we might have life, that we might experience his forgiveness. That was the purpose for which Jesus came, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The final hurdle is death, and Jesus defeated that. The resurrection of Jesus proves that to us. He defeated death, the final hurdle. And he comes and says, I want you to know that I was sent with a purpose. And if you're my follower, then you also come with that sense of purpose. Between 40 and 42 times in the Gospel of John, there is this idea of Jesus saying, he who sent me, or the Father who sent me. Jesus lived with that sense of purpose. He lived with that sense of agenda, of direction in his life. And we can too. God has given us a plan. God has given us a purpose. God has given us a future and a hope. And he wants to work in our lives. And he comes and he says, you don't have to be caught in lockdown. You don't have to be restricted. In fact, I'm broadcasting to you through the internet and through the use of modern technology. You see, we don't even have to be restricted in that way because we live in the 21st century. It's incredible to think that what we can do. And I want to encourage you to think about what's your purpose in life. Maybe not your own purpose. Maybe not your own plans. They have probably been curtailed in this current season. But what are God's plans and what are God's purposes? What has he sent you on the earth to do? You see, if you'll discover that, you'll live life with a sense of fulfillment. You'll live life with a sense of direction. You'll live life with that sense of divine commission overriding. And I tell you what, that gives you a passion. That gives you a purpose. That will give you a fulfillment. You can come to the resurrected Jesus and say, God, why have you put me on this earth? What is it that you've actually called me to do? There's a third truth that comes out of this passage. Not only can we live with a sense of his peace, not only can we live with a sense of his purpose, we can also live with a sense of God's power in our life. Jesus says, receive the Holy Spirit. It's such an important truth. Jesus knew from his own life that he needed the power of the Holy Spirit. Many times he would go away and spend time alone. When he stood up to preach his first sermon, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to set the captives free, to proclaim freedom to the oppressed. And that's his message to you today, through the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Luke records in Acts chapter 10 that Jesus was anointed, verse 38 of Acts chapter 10, Jesus was anointed with power and the Holy Spirit and went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed. You see, that's the work and the dynamic of the Holy Spirit. That He comes to do good. He comes to bring healing into our circumstances. And we need that power to be operating within us. And the work of the Holy Spirit is actually the promise of the Father. Hundreds of years before Jesus came, He said, I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new spirit. There's going to be a new day that I will pour my spirit out on all flesh. It's recorded in the reading Amelia did for us earlier. When they were together on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. And they began to speak in languages and declaring the wonders of God. And that's one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit that we see in the early church. In fact, it's the promise of Jesus. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. So often people get hung up in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Is it about tongues, and what does that mean for us today? Primarily in the book of Acts, the work of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit is the power to speak the word of God boldly. Yes, the gifts are the overflow of that life, but it brings with us courage. It brings with it boldness. It brings with it the power to be equipped to live for God. I don't know about you, but I need that power to live. I need that power to live for God, to live in this world, which is so often challenging for us. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And the good news is that that power is available to us because it's the promise of the Father to pour out the Holy Spirit. And when we see on the day of Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, the Spirit is given to everyone. Peter stands up and preaches and actually says, this gift of the Holy Spirit is for everyone that God will call. So the challenge is not, is this the promise of the Father? Is this something that's available to us? The Bible is very clear that this promise is for everyone. It's for you. But there's some requirements for that. And John actually highlights what some of those requirements are for us. And I want to read them to you. This is Jesus speaking. On the last and greatest day of the feast, John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and in a loud voice said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who had believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. Jesus reveals to us two things that we're going to need if we're going to receive the Holy Spirit. The first thing is that we're thirsty. And I want to ask you, are you thirsty and hungry for God? Is there that desire? Is there that passion? Is there that understanding that actually what God does in your life for eternity is the most important thing? Not what car you drive, what computer you have, what clubs the kids are going to. All of those things are secondary. They don't last, their seasons. Only what matters for eternity. And Jesus comes and says, are you hungry for those things? Are you hungry for more of me? If you are, then you can come to him and you can drink. You can receive from him today. You can receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit today. But you have to be thirsty. The second thing Jesus says is that you have to believe. That starts with us being born again. We need to receive the Holy Spirit and be born again, be born spiritually anew. We can't be born again physically, but we can be born again spiritually. And we need to be born again. We need to believe that Jesus is who he said he is, that he came, he was sent from the Father, he died for our sins, that he rose again. That's what we need to believe. But there's a second thing that we need to believe. We need to believe that he's a good God. And that when we ask him, when we come to him to receive from him, we're going to receive good gifts. Again, Jesus identified this as an issue for us in Luke 11 when he said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So that's our second requirement, that we believe in Jesus, but we also believe that when we come to him, he's going to give us good gifts. What he's going to give us will build us up, will strengthen us, will help us to live for him. You know what? The power of the Holy Spirit is available to you today. His presence is available to you today. Jesus started off by saying we can have his peace, and maybe that's what you need today. Maybe you need a sense of purpose in your life. You can receive that today. Maybe you need that immediate sense of the presence of God through the Holy Spirit. Well, I know you can receive that today. So I'm going to pray as I did at the start, and I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to come and rest on you, to come and be with you. And I encourage you as we do that to be open. If it's safe for you to do so, then raise your hands towards heaven and just say, come, Holy Spirit. Come and fill me with your presence. Come and fill me with your power that I might live for you. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit on us. We ask that you would pour out your peace. That you fill us with a sense of your purpose. That your power would rest on us through the Holy Spirit. As we open up our lives, as we open up our hearts, come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Come and rest on us. Come and fill us with your presence. We welcome you. We honor your presence, Holy Spirit. Come and do what only you can do. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.